Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Are you interested in farming history? Let's go in-depth with Kelly Halbert with the Nelson Pioneer Farm and Museum in Mahaska County. So, Kelly, how long have you worked at the Nelson Pioneer Farm and Museum?
I'm going to be completing my fourth year. Came in January of 2013.
And what brought you here?
The job. I am a living historian. That's what my training is in. So I know a lot of things about a lot of strange things, like how to birth a lamb and how to spin wool. I can make switchel, and you're going, what's switchel? Spin, dye, cook, Dutch oven. I've just about done it all. I've even brain tanned hides and all that stuff that the pioneers used to know how to do and we've all forgotten.
Well, and some of it I would guess that we could probably still profit from. I mean, like I was just looking at the shelves here, there's wooden cheese boxes.
Yes.
For holding cheese, transporting cheese.
Aging cheese, mostly.
Aging.
Cheese takes, well, depending on how strong you want the flavor. If you talk to our local Gouda cheese makers, they'll tell you 1 year is new cheese, and then it gets stronger in the second and third year, and they've gotten some that's now been out 5 years, and it's like a Parmesan. It's really good.
That's just one thing that just popped into my mind from the many, many things that I've seen here. So there's a rich history and story behind each object, each building here.
Definitely. The farm was started 1843 when the family came in. Actually, the Crawfords came in first. And then he wrote his nephew, who was Daniel Nelson, and said, come on out. This is great. This is new land. You can build your own farm. And so Daniel and his wife came to Oskaloosa in the winter of 43. Well, not Oskaloosa. They only made it as far as Eddyville in the winter of 43. She had a baby on the river down there in Eddyville in a wickiup. And to me, that's amazing that, you know, you'd be willing to lay in a hut and have a child during a winter storm. Soon as they were able to travel, then they moved up with their cousins and they claimed the 150 acres on the north half of this farm. Their cousin got wanderlust within another year or two and sold them their other 150 acres. And so the family then had the 300-acre farm that they built up. After 10 years, he built the brick house. They were in a log cabin. But with the sixth child, she wanted a house. And the fun thing about the house is Daniel was very frugal. He found a clay pit on the side of the property. He and his boys made all the bricks. That is a solid brick house. He owned a quarry up by the South Skunk. They mined or they quarried out their own stones and waited till the snow fell and then drug the stones down to build the foundation for the house out of his quarry. He had a wood. He bought a sawmill on the highway or on the North Skunk and sawed all his own logs. So everything in that house that they could make by themselves, they did. The only thing they had to purchase was the hardware for the cabinets and the glass for the windows. So he kind of showed off with the glass for the windows. Every glass pane then was taxed as an independent window. He has 23 panes in the front door. So without saying, I'm really wealthy, he was saying, I'm really wealthy.
They taxed windows back then?
They taxed windows, and closets were counted as a separate room. And he has 8 closets in the house, but it's only really a 5-room house, as we would consider it.
And back then, they used a lot of houses didn't even have closets.
Most houses didn't have closets because they were an expense. And these closets are only 6 inches deep, so it was just kind of like, he's claiming again, I have money, because 6 inches, you know how little you can pack in 6 inches.
Right, back then they used, what they call them, wardrobes? Or
right, or armoires.
Armoires.
Yeah.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kelly Halbert with the Nelson Pioneer Farm and Museum. What is now on the Nelson Family Farm and Museum that we can see?
Well, we have the family property, which is the original house built in 1853. We have their summer kitchen and their meat house, which is where the butchering was done. Summer kitchen would have handled the laundry and cooking and canning in the summer when you don't want to heat the big house. And we have the original barn. The barn and the house are on the National Historic Register. Barn is really fun to look at because it's all put together with mortise and tenon and then pegged. So if you know anything about construction, everything was hand-hewn, and then the one beam would slide into the other beam and then pegged so it wouldn't slide. It's a marvel of construction. It was built as a grain barn, so rather than open windows and doors, it has shutters on all the windows. And again, he's got 12 pane windows, four on each side of the building, and then like 15 panes of glass over the main doors. So he went to all lengths to put the glass in and make it look like a showpiece. The original cabin was torn down by the family, but we have moved in a cabin from Bussey, the Littler cabin, to represent what the family had had.
Sure.
And they were sheep farmers, sheep ranchers. So in there we have all of our spinning wheels and some weaving. And it makes it sound like it's a huge barn but it's not. So it's climb over one thing to get to the next thing. They live there with five children, and it's probably a 12 by 16 room. That's really crowded. We have the Mott store from Lacey, and that store has its own history. It was built in 1915 in Lacey, just about 7 miles north of here, as a general store. They carried everything. And in 1923, they shut down. The school purchased the building, moved it over next to the high school, and it was the band room and the wood shop. Now, I haven't figured out how you have band and wood shop in the same room, but they did.
Right.
Down the road, as we go down the road from there, there is the voting house. And this year, because I had to move some other exhibits, we've combined the voting house and the Oskaloosa Herald exhibit, or the newspaper exhibit, in there. The voting house was the first building built west of the Mississippi used strictly for voting. And it was used for voting up until 1995. People actually came out here to the farm to vote for several years because it got out here in 85. Next to that is the Wright Post Office. Its story is kind of fun. Most people know the town of Wright was wiped out in 1983 by a tornado. And the post office had been moved over here a week and a half before.
Wow.
And so it barely missed getting completely demolished. Most of the town was demolished. So it shows an old post office where people would go and get their mail. There's a telephone in there and a potbelly stove, and it's a fun place. We have children come in. I have a wonderful volunteer, and children can try writing with a quill pen in there, which is fun to do. It's messy. If for anybody who's seen Harry Potter and he just immediately picks up the pen and knows how to write, that never happens. Never. Building next to that is the Russ Buffalo Scales. Buffalo was the name of the scale. When I first got here, I kept thinking, they only weigh buffalo in there? But I finally did my research, and that's the name, the brand name of the scales. It's a huge floor scale. And so the farmer could back his wagon in, weigh the wagon full of produce, and know how much produce he was taking to market. Next to that is Kubaw Lumber. Kubaw was the big lumber company here in town, and they grew and grew, and what was their original office is what we have here. And then they grew and they expanded and expanded, and then their building got torn down for the mall. So this is their original office, and we have all of their account records in there. It's fun to go in and see if your parents or great-grandparents had an account, because everything is by year and by alphabet. We also have Hopewell, which was the stage stop out in the little town of Hopewell, which is only a cemetery now. But it was the stage stop, post office, and general store for the town of Hopewell. and the town died after the railroad chose to go to Rose Hill instead of to Hopewell. But it was the main stop between Iowa City and Oskaloosa. And then we have our equipment barns. We also have a Friends Meeting House and Prine School, which stood out on the highway at the corner of 163 and Independence, and was attended by many people. We've had a couple reunions, not lately, but their last graduating class was 1965, and their school was built in 1861. And it's a good old dunk the pigtail in the inkwell type school, so.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kelly Halbert with the Nelson Pioneer Farm and Museum.
Well, and you have a special event coming up in September.
Yes. This is actually our 52nd annual Fall Festival. And it's amazing when I think that it's been going on for 52 years. But the farm here opened in 1964, and they started 65, 66. I think it was 65. It's grown as the buildings have come in. Of course, it's expanded. This year, we have our steam engine. We have a Wood Brothers steam engine, which is an Iowa-made steam engine. And it will be doing threshing. We'll be powering the threshing, also the hay baler. We have a new sawmill that we have just installed this last year. And if it improves itself, it's sawing most of the time. There'll be spelling bees at the school. And there will be a children's spelling bee at 10:30 and adults at 11. We have four music groups coming. Many people know Mr. Rex McFall. He's an elderly gentleman, but he plays a wonderful harmonica. He picked it up when he was 9, and he's coming to entertain us. Alice Geddes and her Alice's Gospel group is coming. And then I have the Rosenbooms are coming, Rosenboom Trio. And I have one more group I have to confirm, so I'm not going to tell you who they are. But that will be wonderful. They are out on our hay bale stage. We will have lots of demonstrations going on, traditional history. We have basket making on the back porch of Nelson, and on the front porch, hardanger and rug weaving. We have a Civil War reenactor. We have an old medical reenactor that we're putting down in the Hopewell stage stop. I mean, he's going to talk about medicine as it was 100 years ago. That's Dr. Everett, who practices here at Mahaska Health Partnership, and they have sponsored his exhibit. Buxton House, there is an author. Her name is Rochelle Chase. She just completed a book on Buxton. So she's going to talk about that, and then John Jacobs will be out there. He is our president, and he is a historian. He just knows everything about this area. You can probably give him your grandfather's name and he can tell you where he worked and how old he was when he died. But he's fascinated with the coal and the coal mining, and he's going to be in the building as well talking about coal mining. We have a couple from Lacey that now live in Grinnell, and they're coming down to do the Mott store and talk about, he actually is on our wall as a graduate of Lacey High School. And so they're going to share the history of Mott store, and that's where you get to try switchel. Not going to tell you what switchel is. You have to come try it. My grandson loves it, so, and he's only 2. So that's just, we'll have pony rides, lots of crafts for children, making corn husk dolls and printer's hats, dipping candles, and making soap. So get your hands in it. We have laundry to do. There's just, the whole day is filled, and the giant pumpkin man is coming to tell you how to grow a giant pumpkin for next year's fair. And you can also have our wonderful picnic supper, which is going to be pulled pork and coleslaw and all that yummy stuff.
Why is it important to know history?
Oh, I think having a foundation in the past and knowing what happened in history gives us a firm footing for today. When you're faced with a problem, you can look back to your ancestors. It gives you a sense of, they did it. I can do it too.
Thanks to Kelly Halbert for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.